Welcome to Living Villa Capelli, where we learn life is so much sweeter when you add a little Italian to it. And now your hosts, Paul Capelli and Stephen Crutchfield.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to Living Villa Capelli. Stephen here again. Giving you a little bit of an intro because we have another great episode where we interview one of the guests here at the villa. You know, it's high season here, so we've been having a lot of fun doing that, especially when we have such amazing guests like the one we have today. Over a decade and a half ago, she started CNG New York, an event and wedding planning service, and she has done some amazing stuff. I will have links to her site in the show notes. Guys, please check them out. It's beautiful stuff, and if you need a good wedding planner, she is the one for sure. I can't recommend her enough. I think she's amazing, and I will say she has two amazing policies on her site, which she didn't tell us about, and I thought this is a great little insight and advice on maybe all you out there who are looking for wedding planners. Maybe you should look for these sort of policies. The first one is they never hire interns or unpaid associates, which, you know, for you guys ensures that you always have a professional working on your wedding, which I think is extremely important, especially on a big day like this. You really want somebody professional and someone who knows what's going on. And the second I thought was really interesting is they never accept commissions from vendors. I thought this was amazing. It really does keep them unbiased in all their referrals and recommendations. And it also ensures that the vendors are going to do their best job because, you know, they're looking to make Jeannie and her crew happy as well as the wedding couple happy because they want the business again. It's not about paying someone out and getting a commission. It's about doing a good job. And I think that's really important. So these are some policies you might want to look for in your wedding planner when you're looking for a wedding planner. I thought they were really great. And I want to say this episode also inspired us to take a step back and think of some tips that we have for people doing destination weddings in Italy. So at the end of the episode, stay tuned and you'll hear our tips for destination weddings in Italy. And of course, all these and more will be in the show notes at livingvillacapelli/13. And without further ado, let's get into the interview with Jeannie Buenick.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Jeannie. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm Paul. That's Stephen. And this is Jeannie. How do you pronounce your last name, Jeannie?
Buenick. It's a tongue twister.
Oh, yes.
What nationality is that?
I was silly enough to marry a Turk. So it is Turkish.
Turkish taffy.
So Jeannie's going to be here and talk to us about special events and partying planning. We just did an event here with Jeannie, so we're going to give you some tips on different travel, especially destination weddings. We hope she's done that, and she will give us a little bit of her expertise on that. So we'll pick her brain on that. Sorry, I'm just adjusting levels here, guys, because we're in the middle of our new stone room, which we're having a big party tomorrow. We're doing a 3 parties in one. We're doing a July 4th. Paul's birthday. I won't say how old he is. And
I'm 60.
And we're doing the first look at our new space. And this new room is our new space. So hopefully the acoustics aren't too bad here. And
because it's a big empty space.
Yes.
Except for the 3 of us. We're not so empty.
No. So what do you want? Where should we go? How do we want to talk about this?
So.
Well, I'm lucky enough to have first set foot on the villa after having planned this sort of multi-day event here in Italy. And one of the first things that I was struck by was how easy it was to really get information and correspond with both Stephen and Paul in advance of getting here, which is, I think, key, because a lot of us, whether event planners or people who are planning events that aren't professional in the industry, have a tough time really understanding what the parameters are of a space, of a villa. In this case, we're fortunate enough to have 10 rooms, although they seem to keep making everything here better. But it's really great. Everything is encased on property, so we had 10 rooms to work with and multiple bathrooms. And it was sort of like, how do we all figure this out without having been there? It's understandable that you can't always visit a destination before you go. And one of the great things was the correspondence, the communication, and the ability to really get what was going to be happening, whether it was food, the rooms, service, what the surrounding towns provided, what we needed to do to get here. All of that was really clear. So from my perspective, that was great. Beyond that, to get here and to see what's coming, having just done 3 days of events here, now we are planning a wedding. One of the guests from our 3 days of events has decided to get married on property. So that has extended my stay in Italy and really made this special. So to be here for the opening tomorrow night, it's so hard, I think, to articulate for those who haven't seen it, but hopefully their pictures will be as good as their personalities. But really, you're dealing with ancient ruins that somehow these two have...
These two what?
Stephen and Paul, these two. have made totally usable for modern day events. And by usable, I mean in terms of space, physical space. There's just a ton of it, which is key. The caterers, the people who are doing the food, the service, who are coming in to support the guests whom you've invited and asked to travel so far, if it's a destination wedding. And then finally, most key is just logistics, getting everything together, getting everything here. So from my perspective, it's been really great to see our clients basically say, look at me and say, we want to get married here, let's make this happen, and the ease of use of doing that.
Well, it's interesting they say that, because one of our fears early on was the fact that we actually live on the premises. So when we, you know, give the villa up to someone who wants to come and either rent it or have an event here, we were afraid that maybe they'd feel uncomfortable that they're not here privately, where what 99% of the people tell us is that they love having us here, because it is sort of a, it's not like going to Florence or Rome or Venice, where, you know, you pick up a tour book and you can find out anything and everything. So here you need a concierge, basically. And that's what Stephen and I, and even my daughter Casey, have learned to become, is sort of a concierge service, obviously free of charge, that can point you in the right direction. Anything you need to know, anything you want or might desire, we can say, yes, it's available, no, it's not available. For instance, when you guys went to Pompeii the other day, it was a lot easier, instead of taking different cars, where in the end, you don't even realize we're probably costing the same amount of money as getting a 19-passenger, really modern bus that would take you there with a driver. You don't have to worry about driving 2.5-3 hours.
And you can drink wine in the van on the way back.
I can't imagine who would do that. It is definitely an option.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's beyond key, because inevitably, an event, when you think about it, whether it's a wedding or a corporate event or a family reunion of any sort, is a limited period of time. One of the keys about destination weddings, especially, and I'll target those who are coming from the States, the rules are different. You cannot just have your event and say, thanks so much for traveling across the ocean, really had a great time at our 5, 6, 7, here maybe 8-hour party.
Yeah, exactly.
Goodbye, thanks, good luck. You really have to think about your guests from arrival point to departure point. And that's key to what Paul is saying, whether it's the bus or knowing the locations around. And having traveled within and done destinations extensively within Europe and in to some degree within Italy, one of the things that I'd never been to Puglia. And it, to me, Stephen and I were talking about this the other evening, I'm so struck by how much of a foreigner I feel without ever being a tourist. And I don't think that is a perspective that one gets very much in this world anymore. Mm-hmm. That ability to really feel like I'm experiencing something new without the crowds, without the absurdity of being a tourist. And that feeling of, wow, you know what, I don't speak Italian. And this is kind of, it's difficult, it's challenging, and it's so sweet to just really experience life the way it should be. And that here in Puglia, I think, is one of the biggest things.
Well, she was just telling me when Jeannie was outside with visiting with her friend, and our neighbor, a crazy neighbor, came out, and they were arguing with, screaming with her kid or with her husband.
With her child.
And they really wanted to go get Nino, our caretaker, and find out, what are they screaming about? Even though Nino doesn't even speak English, so I don't know how you would have gotten anything out of Nino.
but it's reassuring. But it's... Again, it's interesting they say that, because we try to communicate some of that stuff, obviously, you know, through the website and the emails that we send out and Facebook pages and stuff. But coming here really is like coming to Italy the way it was 75 years ago. Not in terms of, you know, not having modern technology, but in terms of you coming to a place that really feels like storybook Italy. You know, it's not Florence, it's not Rome, it's not Venice, which are absolutely stunning and beautiful, but those are more, they have become tourist destinations. They're more like almost a Disney World version of Italy. They are, like I said, they are beautiful, but when you come down here, it's beautiful in a totally different, maybe even more authentic way.
And I think here's the key, you know, Paul's saying 75 years ago, and I'm thinking 75 years ago, we're coming from the States, you know, your oldest history is maybe 400 or 500 years. One of the things that's most striking, first of all, you may not hear this, but in the background as we're doing the show, there are, and we're in a closed stone room, we can still hear the cicadas and the crickets sort of going nuts. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable the organic nature of everything we do, from the food, which we'll get to in a second, to this sort of idea that you're literally encased and surrounded by history. And here's the key. Paul says, original Italy 75 years ago, and I think he's talking about it from a tourist perspective, but what we're experiencing is ancient civilization at every turn. I mean, everywhere we go, people sort of here in Italy, of course, dismiss how unbelievable it is to touch something that was created not 200, not 2,000, but 4,000 years ago. And that's just par for the course in these parts. It's untouched. And that to me is like, gives that experience to a guest? Who's able to say, I know that no one on my 200-person guest list has actually gone to a site where you can excavate or see dinosaur tracks or shop for things in a way where there's no one speaking English and translating? You don't get that much. You know, when we do destination weddings coming out of New York, we're doing them in places that are maybe amazing and beautiful and wonderful, but they're not untouched. This is untouched territory. And the other thing that Stephen and I were talking about, which I think is really interesting, I, you know, in a, let's say, almost 20-year career of planning events and destination weddings, we've seen troughs, highs and lows of destination weddings and why they happen. Post-2001, it was because people wanted to get out of New York, out of the East Coast. Post-2005, it was because people had so much money, they didn't know what to do with it. Post-2009, we were seeing people say, let's try to save money by going out, which didn't really work. And now what we're seeing is, I want to do something totally different. It's amazing how hard that is in this world to do something totally different. Because, frankly, unless you're going to Angola and spending $200 on a melon, which is indeed the cost, there's not much that's untouched. And by the way, no one's going to Angola. Trust me, no one's going to Angola. So, you know, it's really hard to find these.
I want to go to Angola.
No, you don't. Okay. No, no, they don't even have water in Angola that's less than people, literally. You know, so it's so fascinating, I think, to be able to come to a place that is untouched, unique. And here's the key, and this is what I started to say before, with a destination wedding, is people are traveling free because they love you. Fine. Once they get there, you want to show them how much you love them back. And that's giving them something to say, this was so important to us that you came, that we want to give you something that you wouldn't have gotten anywhere else.
So and normally, do you normally plan out, is it a full week for people? Or three, just because I really don't know. Or I guess it depends on the wedding, I'm sure. But like, we just had one recently. We were part of the reception for the wedding. We found out later he was, or she was from France.
Yes, she's from France.
Yes, they got married on Saturday. They had a huge reception Saturday night, and then they came here on Sunday, and Sunday was another, because I realized what it was is all their family was still here, and they needed something for the family to do. Because you can't just say, okay, like you said, you can't just say, come for 8 hours.
Well, it was actually, I guess the French have a tradition of doing a 3-day celebration. So like we do in the States, you know, you have your sort of rehearsal dinner the day before, then you have the wedding. But these people also then on the third day, it's sort of like an unwind day. So for all the people that they brought from France and Germany and England that were here, it was beautiful because they were all in shorts. It was a beautiful day, very warm, and they came here, hung out by the pool, and we had all these different stations set up for different kinds of food and drinks and all sorts of stuff. The other cool thing is when we did a destination wedding last year for a couple from Pittsburgh, one of the things that I kept thinking about was how do we make this look like that almost fairy tale wedding? I mean, you're going to go all the way to Italy to get married. You want it to feel as Italian, like a movie set. So, you know, I think that we have the structure here for it. But then it's like, how do we dress it up? And you know, the flower people that we use to do all the flowers, they actually do the flowers for the Vatican. You know, on Palm Sunday, they dress up in all of St. Peter's Square. So if they can do that, imagine what they can do on a smaller scale. The place was just filled with flowers, fresh fruit hanging from garlands of flowers, and just color everywhere.
That, it was beautiful. That was an interesting tip you were saying today, because Jeannie went with the two guys who were looking at the wedding, because obviously we have 10 bedrooms, which are great, but there's a nearby hotel, which is 60 rooms, and so it's literally 10 minutes away, so we can shuttle people back and forth if they want to bring more people over. But I was saying I didn't like the space. I mean, luckily, knock on wood, at least I don't think we have this problem. But the space there, I'm not crazy about the actual reception space. But she immediately was like, no, all you have to do is like just you draw the eye away from it. So that's a good, great tip for me. If you don't like something about the space, don't necessarily dismiss the space. You can make it whatever you want, and you can draw the eye to the spots you want, which I thought was a really cool...
Or as Steve and I would say, you just got to gay it up.
Luckily, there's another perspective here. But it's really interesting. As Paul was talking, I'm thinking to myself, you know, the space is, to me, you fall in love with the place. And there are two important points here, I think. One, Villa Capelli has lots of nooks and crannies.
Yeah.
So the wedding that we're now planning on the sort of heels of this three-day event, multi-day event that we've already done here, we're looking at Thanksgiving weekend 2016. So we're looking at doing a Thanksgiving Day dinner, a rehearsal dinner, and then finally the reception. And for me, having everything being able to be housed in one location is, but never having it feel the same, because people get bored in about 5 seconds flat, literally, right? They want to be wowed at every turn. This is just unfortunately where we are in the world. It's not just about being with great people, but it's really also about being like, wow, that's different, that's exciting. And so in our particular cases, we planned for 2016, we're looking at super in this sort of subterranean, ancient dwelling. We're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner, and then we're going to come up and we're going to do a rehearsal dinner, and then finally we'll be in this new event space, which is literally opening tomorrow, and we'll have the reception and on the outside patio. We'll do cocktails. And
where are we doing the wedding? Are we doing the alcohol?
Well, that's the beauty of it. There's a lot of discussion about where the ceremony will be, which is part of the fun part.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the beauty, though. There are choices, there are options, and that's what you always want. And to Paul's point, you know, I think, sure, one of the other great things I'll just also say is that the colors here are so muted. It was one of the first things I noticed when, as the space sort of evolved in the week that we've been here, the colors are dramatically beautiful, muted, quiet, elegant. You want to do something, it's easy to make your own. If you don't, it's easy to flow with it. So I think that's key, because once you get to a destination wedding, you know, and I'll say this as the American event planner, Europe is definitely in a different place than America is in terms of weddings and decor. And I'll argue that's true to some degree also for things like photography, video. I'll call it what it is. There's a cheese element difference there. All right.
Especially with
there's a lot of greenery.
With the photography.
Yeah. It's one of the first things we did. I said we're booking a U.S. photographer, and that's a really important point. You know, there are certain costs. I mean, if you as a seasoned professional say to me, you know, where's the value? I'm like, oh, blindly get on a plane, fly here and do this. I mean, you'll never. The food here is amazing, and I don't mean here in Puglia. I mean literally here at Villa Capelli. I mean, their standards, we've been to some of the best restaurants, not only in the area, but also in Italy en route here, and I've just been struck by how good the food is here. And I'm clearly not a pleasant person when it comes to that, because it's not, you know, you sort of, your expectations when you get to Italy are X, and this is the one thing I was surprised by. I knew we'd have an amazing experience. I knew everything would be great. I knew it wouldn't be embarrassing. But to sort of say, this is the best, that's a shock. I mean, that's
a shock to me. That's
exactly.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, to all of us.
Exactly.
And I mean, you've done more than a few weddings.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, even here, you know, I hate to pick on any part of the U.S. when it comes to weddings, but let's talk about Long Island and New Jersey.
Or not.
Oh, not.
Right. Or not. I mean, or not. Literally. Right. That's, we can't. It's not fair.
Right. But also, you know, there were a lot of places in Italy that you can see where those places in Long Island and New Jersey came from. Because, you know, there are these wedding supermarkets, if you will, that you just go in there and it's just, you know, the outside looks kind of nice, but then as soon as you get in, it looks like every other space in the world. Whereas there's nothing authentic, and as you were saying earlier, original and real. I mean, just like you're standing in a 1,000-year-old stone, huge structure with vaulted ceilings.
And I think that's a good key. We're off the air, Gina and I were talking, and she had a really good tip before, which is great that she's come here for this stuff, for us, that she's seen the space. And she said that's a really key tip for any, if you're doing any destination wedding, if you can't go, you need to send somebody to look at it. Because you don't want to arrive at the space and you... It's like looks great in pictures from the outside, and you go inside, and it's weird and cheesy.
And it's a very different, you know, pictures never ever encapsulate a space,
and
also the aura, that feeling you get. I'm a big believer that people see a space and they know they love it. But one of the reasons that I feel very fortunate in this case is because we were here for a non-wedding, and a non-wedding event, whether it's a birthday or an anniversary or a corporate event or a philanthropic event, it's easier to take a risk because there's less tied in emotionally.
Yes, exactly.
A wedding is not. You cannot have everybody from the event planner to the couple showing up day of and being like, great, this is perfect. Does it work out sometimes? Absolutely. Is that what I would recommend? No. And frankly speaking, these days, the people who are doing destination weddings and doing them well, these are not people who are on smaller budgets. These are people who say, my first priority is to do something awesome. And when I say awesome, I don't mean over the top awesome. I mean, emotionally speaking, this is something that we want to remember for the rest of our lives, to talk to our kids about, to talk to our families about. So, you know, when you do that, whether it's a $1,000 ticket and a couple of extra dollars for the hotel or whatever it is, if you can't afford to see the destination that you're going to before you come, coming from the States I'm talking about, I'm not talking about Europe, then you really need to think about where your priorities are, because if you're going to do this, you should do it right.
Exactly.
You should really look and explore. This is one of those places where, having been here as the go-between, as the intermediary, it's very easy for me to describe this to a couple and feel 100% confident. That's what I do. I mean, I go in place of a couple to go see venues and to opine. So I can tell exactly, this place is amazing. We've got the arches, the high ceilings, the patio, the outdoor space, the villas. We can describe the bedrooms now. But someone has to have that ability to talk specifically about those details.
Right, and I would think that even the couple themselves, or at least one of them, should know what the place really looks like. Because in the end, if you're going to have a destination wedding, you also sort of have to, pardon the expression, but you sort of have to sell it to your guests. You know, you have to make sure that your guests are willing to spend some money and some time out of their lives to come to this place that you can guarantee them, because you've been here yourself, that is just amazing.
And to your point earlier, you're giving back to them too.
You know, I'm going to argue with Paul a little bit on that, which he loves when I do, because we do this a lot. We spar.
Me and you? Come on.
Come on. No, I disagree with Paul in that sense that what I'm always thrilled about with destination weddings is that the people who show up don't know what they're getting into, right? Because you can never fully sell it, and you shouldn't have to. I'll argue, your guest list and the people who attend, you shouldn't be selling them anything. One of the reasons you're giving them back is because they're the people who love you the most to come, and you want to give it to them. You want to be able to
I spent 35 years in advertising.
Exactly.
My job is to sell.
Exactly. What I'm saying...
But you don't have to sell.
Exactly.
People who are
shouldn't
coming
sell.
Have to sell.
This is precisely it. You should be able to say, this is where we're getting married. You want to come? Great. You don't want to come? Great. As a matter of fact, the couple for whom we're planning this wedding, we've talked a lot about this guest list. And, you know, we've been looking at different venues for their wedding for many years. And we're sort of, the best thing is, most people have a lot of friends these days. My rule of thumb is, if you're not going to see someone a year after your wedding or a year before, they shouldn't be on your guest list, period. But I'll argue what's great about destination weddings is that the people who really take that time and the expense are the people who love you the most. And you don't want other people there. You don't want to have to sell it. You don't want to have to say,
Please come.
Come to Italy. You want to have them saying, I can't wait to come. Yeah. To come. I can't wait. I will. Because that's, it, at the end of the day, a wedding is exactly what life is. It's prioritizing the people you care about. Yeah. And, you know, showing up to a wedding and sort of being like, I got to get home. I got 3 hours here. I mean, who wants that? This is your marriage. This is the rest of your life. Yeah. It shouldn't be about, I walked in, I was annoyed, my babysitter had to leave, I had to come back. You know, the people you want there are the people who are like, this is important to me. And one of the other issues that we were talking about was the idea of traveling over a holiday weekend, i.e. Thanksgiving. It's kind of like, a wedding should be an extension of your family. Yeah. Even in the version of your friends. It should be people who think of you as important as their own family, and who say, Thanksgiving with you, for 1 year I can miss with my own family because you are my family.
Yeah, I think it's a great, great idea to kind of do it around that time. I think it's such a cool...
Well, it's also because it's a long weekend.
And exactly. You have time off that stuff. Yeah. No, I think it's cool. Oh, yeah, sure.
So, Jeannie, do you have anything else you'd like to add about helpful hints on people who are even thinking, or not even thinking, quite honestly? I think a destination wedding is something that a lot of people dream about, not just think about.
So what Stephen and Paul don't know is that I was married in Turkey, coming from the States, mm-hmm. coming from New York. My husband was Turkish, as we talked about at the start of the show. And I cannot emphasize enough that as a professional event planner of almost 20 years, I don't think there's anything better to be able to gather. And this is one of the keys, and this is the last thing I'll say. The people who are looking for destination weddings these days tend to be people who are saying, I want multi-day festivities. Maybe not in name in terms of this is official, we're having this day, Thanksgiving, or we're doing this dinner or that. But the idea of having everyone gathered together for an extended period of time other than just the day of the wedding. And if you look at the history of weddings, which really only began in the 1850s in Victorian England, late 1800s even, Victorian England, they've evolved. The cost of weddings has evolved. And, you know, in New York, the average cost of a wedding, which is so crazy, because for most places around the world, it's the cost of a lifetime or a house, is a good, for 100 people, $80,000. And to sort of look at that and think, I'm going to spend a small house or four small cars on one day, is somewhat crazy to me as a professional event planner. So if I'm going to spend my money on something, I'm going to do it in a place where I can get the biggest bang for buck and I can really treat my guests to things that are amazing. And this is one thing we haven't touched upon. And I would argue anyone who's listening to this, listen very hard. The cost of stuff. And I'd like to use another word for stuff, but I won't. In Puglia is unbelievable. I mean, a dinner out with exceptional wine, exceptional food is nothing. And I mean nothing compared to the rest of Europe. They have not caught up here. Puglia is not yet known.
Yes.
So that to me is, if you don't listen to another word I've said, your bang for buck is about triple of what you'd get anywhere else.
Easily.
That's just stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid. I mean, that alone.
We say that alone. It's crazy. I mean, yeah. I mean, we talked about this on the flower episode. The flowers that we got, the guy that does the flowers for the Vatican, that are amazing, beautiful, whatever. I mean, I posted pictures of them on, I don't know what podcast it was. It was like 1,200 euro, wasn't it?
No, there was 800 euro.
800 euro. Nothing.
Yeah.
All right.
There's the bell again.
There's the bell again. That signals the end of this podcast. Thank you, Jeannie so
Bonner,
much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We hope it was helpful to anyone listening.
And I'll have links to all of her sites and how you can get in contact with her on the show notes. So
if I were you, I'd just get in touch with Villa Capelli right directly.
No, we're actually
we want to work with Jeannie.
Exactly. All right. Thank you, guys. Arrivederci.
Thank you. Buonanotte. Ciao.
Buonasera.
Hey, guys. Hope you enjoyed that interview as much as we did and learned as much as we did. It was a lot of fun for us to do. And as I said before, it inspired us to also come up with, you know, our own tips for those of you that might be looking to have a destination wedding in Italy. So the first tip is to consider all factors when choosing your dream location. What I mean by this is, you know, you can fall in love with the place because it's the perfect seaside location, the perfect country feel you're going for. But I think it's also important to consider the ease of getting there for your guests. Also, how logistically is it even possible? Is it 4-hour drive through the mountains? You know, you have to consider that and all factors when choosing your dream location, because it's not just the setting, which it's also all those other factors that go into that decision. The next tip is, you know, don't dismiss locations offhand and kind of look at locations as a blank canvas. So, you know, not all locations you look at are going to be spot on the first time you see them. You know, sometimes you might see something that's just a total eyesore, but there are things you can do to disguise a location or draw eyes away from something you don't like. And it's also important when you're looking at a location to look for more muted colors, more of a blank canvas for you to work with. That way you can bring your own style and your own personality to the space. I think that's really important. If a space has like a giant, huge, bright yellow wall, you know, what are you going to do with that if that's totally not something you're looking for? The next tip is to start early and start now. So once you get a date and you have an idea of when you're doing it, you need to tell friends and family right away, because they need to lock up those tickets and the hotel reservations before the prices skyrocket. So you need to give, you know, whereas normal weddings, you give people 4 months notice, something like that. We really recommend you give people at least 10 to 12 months notice so they can start booking all those tickets. Another tip is when to book. Bookings really we recommend should be made about 10 to 12 months before the wedding date. If you go a little before that, like a year and a half to 2 years before that, the problem with that is a lot of venues, the prices are going to increase over that time. So they're going to be a little bit hesitant to actually accept a booking that far in advance because they kind of don't know where their prices are going to go. So usually 10 months to a year is the ideal time. And anything after that, you might run into problems where the venues are already booked. And hey, you know, you can obviously approach a venue and say, look, I want to book 2 years ahead. And a lot of places might want to, you know, go ahead and lock you in. So that's obviously an option. But just be aware, usually we recommend 10 months to a year ahead of time. This next tip is getting the timing right, meaning when you are actually coming to Italy for your destination wedding. I will say, I think we recommend spring or fall to come to Italy for your destination wedding. If you're coming in the middle of summer, it is the height of tourist season. You're going to be dealing with higher rates and you're going to be dealing with crowds. Whereas if you come in those shoulder seasons, you're going to get a much better deal and a much better value during your whole stay. And also the weather's just going to be a lot better. I mean, who wants to sit around in the hot Puglia sun in a wedding dress and a suit? So, you know, the more you can kind of think about the fall or spring times, that really is the best time. The next tip, we talked about this in the podcast, is to visit your location. You know, and if you cannot visit your location on your own to scout the venues, to set up the hotels for your guests, to maybe even talk to caterers or florists, then we do recommend, you, if you can, to send a wedding planner or get a local wedding planner. That's going to be the next tip. But you really need somebody or you really, really trust your venue. I mean, maybe you guys get to know us and hopefully you know us and you trust us as a venue. But it really is important you know your space. And if you can, if possible, visit your location, that's a big tip. And the next one kind of leads into this, which is use a planner. If you're hosting destination wedding, you know, if you can get a local planner, that might be the best, because they can obviously, you know, shoulder the burden of researching and scheduling local vendors, especially when the second language might be a problem in Italy if you don't speak Italian. And just being able to set that all up for you really, really will help. And if you can't obviously get a local planner, be prepared to probably send your planner to the site beforehand so they can really work on the logistics firsthand and get stuff ready for you before the wedding. Also, the next tip is about tying the knot legally. I'm going to have a link in the show notes to this. It is a little complicated, and honestly, we have not dealt with that firsthand, but I know lots of people do it, so it is definitely possible. You just need to start early and figure out all logistics on that. And there are lots of agencies, and even a local wedding planner would probably be your best bet here to approach them to get some help. The next tip is relax. It's Italy. Remember, with all this, you're on Italian time. We've mentioned this before. Things happen when they happen. So, you know, don't mistake a vendor's laid-back attitude for incompetence. You know, you just kind of have to schedule regular check-ins, trust that they're working their magic, and they do work at their own pace, and it's going to seem much slower, but just be aware of that. So that's kind of an issue, not an issue, a fact of life when you're working in Italy. The next tip is bring the pros from home. And I think, again, we talked about this a little bit in the podcast, but especially when it comes to photography, Italian photographers out there, if you're listening, you know, please prove me wrong and show me your portfolio. But most of the ones we've seen, I'm sorry, seem to be stuck in 1980s Sears portraits stage. I mean, they are really, really corny. So we really, really recommend if you have a photographer, get a photographer in the States or wherever you're coming from, and spend the money on that, because I think it will be worth your money at the end of the day. The next tip is remember that, you know, you're taking care of guests. That's going to be an important thing. They are coming to share this special day with you, but you should also want to give back to them. This involves all kinds of stuff, from just having, you know, welcome bags in their rooms full of stuff like suntan lotion, water, bug spray, maps, list of local attractions, to planning activities out for them. And, you know, they'd also obviously don't have to join every activity, but I think you do have to have stuff kind of planned out for them. You know, they're coming all this way. It should be a full week and a full weekend full of events and fun stuff. It's about your loved ones all coming together to celebrate this time. You know, again, we talked about this in the podcast, and I think it's a really, really important thing. And that's what makes destination weddings really special. So, you know, really put a lot of thought into that part of it as well, not just the actual ceremony. And last but not least, make it special. And this is going to be my big plug for Puglia here. You know, Italy has a lot of wonderful locations, and a lot of people are attracted to places like Tuscany or Sorrento. And they are gorgeous. But, you know, you can go to places like Puglia, and it offers an amazing, absolutely spectacular scenery and just an excellent value for your money. And you won't be compromising on the quality at all, the quality of the food, the quality of the location. It'll be amazing. And you're just going to get so much more value for your money. So, and it's also going to be a little bit different. I mean, you're not going to be, sorry, one of those other couples that are just getting married in Tuscany. You're going to be married someplace new, up and coming. So I do think, you know, make it special, make it different. That's kind of the whole point of destination weddings a little bit. So that wraps up all of our tips here. Again, I'll have more of this and links and everything and in the show notes. So that's livingvillacapelli/13. And also have, of course, links to Jeannie's website and all her information. So please look her up. Thank you again, Jeannie. It was an amazing interview. We had so much fun and learned a lot. And I hope you guys did too. Thank you so much. And arrivederci.